let me say a hearty good afternoon to all of you, and to thank you, Bishop Innes, for the introduction. I can see we have in the room some that come from our part of the way with the for the special greeting that has just been given. Bishop Janice Huey, past president of the Council of Bishops. Bishop Gregory Palmer, president of the Council of Bishops. Clergy and lay delegates. Distinguished leaders of the United Methodist denomination here assembled. My own compatriots, fellow Christians, ladies and gentlemen. I would like first to praise and thank Almighty God for the opportunity to be here in this great city of Fort Worth, and for the rare opportunity and honor accorded me to address this important assembly. According to our United Methodist Book of Discipline, the General Conference is the only body in the global United Methodist Church that has full legislative power over all matters distinctively connectional of the United Methodist Churches, representing all races and all people of the Global Compact of Methodists. I thank Bishop Huey, the Council of Bishops, the General Conference Secretariat for the invitation to be here. I thank our own Bishop Innes for ensuring that it stayed on my schedule. This event represents a special honor for me. I understand that I am the first African leader and indeed the first female president to address the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. Second, I am a United Methodist, and I can see some of my bishop, my pastor, they're all here. I'm the product of United Methodist education in Liberia. I therefore feel at home, very, very well at home with you, members of my United Methodist family. Your meeting in this convention at critical moments in the history of the Christian Church and the human family. Today, poor countries, African countries, face an era of unpredictability and challenges in a world in which there is a widening gap between rich and poor nations on account of the new scramble for sources of energy, the unfolding specter of global warming and climate change, the rising number of unemployed youth, the threat of the HIV/AIDS pandemic, and the spread of hunger against the rising backdrop of the increasing cost of food. Not the least is the challenge that our civilization faces to confront and together overcome violence in all its manifestations, especially against women, children, and the elderly. while fighting global terrorism. These challenges are not new, but they present new urgencies. We must find appropriate responses to these challenges. Liberia, under my leadership, thus shares with you and with the Global United Methodist Compact a commitment to a common but very significant response: the reduction of poverty. It is poverty that manifests itself not only in terms of income, but lack of access. Access to education, to health services, to the exercise of choice. This is why I believe that in the midst of the monumental difficulties which have burdened and weighed Liberia down for much of its history, and especially in the last quarter century, the greatest challenge we face as a post-conflict nation fall in three critical areas: the challenge of reducing income poverty through skills training and jobs, the challenge of helping our youth reclaim their future through education, the challenge of nurturing and strengthening democracy through the exercise of participation and choice. First, the challenge of poverty. As the world globalizes, the inequalities within and among nations are on the rise, intensifying poverty for the majority of the world's people and nations. The statistics are startling. The GDP of 41 heavily indebted countries of 567 million people is less than the combined wealth of the world's seven richest people. Half of the world's population, nearly 3 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. Nearly a billion people enter the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names. One in two children, or 1 billion children, live in poverty. 400 million have no access to clean water. 270 million no access to health services. Around the world, 27,000 to 30,000 children die every day, equivalent to one child dying every 3 seconds. We inherited a situation in Liberia that is equally dismal. The coup d'etat of 1980 and 23 years of economic freefall reduced our GDP from 750 million in 1980 to 120 million in 2003, representing a decline of 90%. The unemployment rate in past years have been estimated as high as 85%. Preliminary results from the first census undertaken in our country in 24 years show that today still, 63.8% of the Liberian people live in poverty on less than $2 a day. A full 47.9% live in absolute poverty on only $1 a day. In addressing poverty, our challenge is to get our country's productive sectors working again. Our mines, our forests, our rubber, oil palm, and other agricultural activities that will generate the jobs. We need to get our small farmers back to the farms and in the business of producing food for themselves and for the nation. We need a better living wage for our public servants. Our recently concluded poverty reduction strategy details the policies and the strategies that will build upon the progress already made in this regard. Second challenge is to give our youth a brighter future. The many years of war sent our country's skills to safer and better pastures, so our children conscripted to wage war, destroyed our schools and institutions of learning, introduced violence, dishonesty, and indiscipline as a way of life. The result is that in 2006, 65% of our population classified as illiterate are youth. A full 60% of our children, men and girls, were out of school. The great majority of our teachers had no more than a high school education. And 75% of our schools were destroyed or made non-functional. We have begun to meet those challenges. Enforcement of compulsory primary education has resulted in a 44% enrollment, the majority of which are girls. A teacher classification and training program and the return of the Peace Corps, specifically for teacher training, will enhance the quality of instruction in our schools. There are some of you in this room who probably have served the Peace Corps and would like to commend you for all that you've contributed to our education over the years. Renovation of technical training institutions will help to give hundreds of our forgotten youth an opportunity for skills and self-empowerment. Better compensation for teachers with incentives for those who serve in rural areas will open opportunities for our rural population. The closure of bogus institutions of higher learning and better support for those that are bona fide will ensure more competitive graduates from our colleges. The mobilization of private funding to support scholarships for girls and literacy training for our grassroots market women will expand the number of girls who stay in school and the number of women who will be able to read and write. Then there is the challenge of democracy. The first lesson we learned over the many years of war is that development cannot succeed unless the people, the citizens, are involved at conception and implementation, that they are the ultimate prime beneficiaries of development. Successful development initiatives must ensure that people are its agent and its means. If people are the end objective of development, then their well-being should and must be made paramount in the formulation of the development agenda. Distinguished United Methodists, for more than 175 years, you, the Methodist Church, has stood by and with the Liberian nation. The Church has worked and continues to work assiduously to meet these challenges for the betterment of all the people of Liberia through its ministries of education, health, and social services. The Church has been a forerunner and a leader in education in our country. Our country's first president, Joseph Jenkins Roberts, was a United Methodist. Our longest-serving president, William V.S. Tubman, was a United Methodist. The establishment of the first secondary school, the College of West Africa, in 1839, was made possible by the United Methodist Church. I'm a proud alumni of that institution, and I now stand before you as the first democratically elected woman president in Liberia and in Africa. Thank you. Thank you. true to its commitment to its educational ministry, the church currently owns and runs 133 parochial schools that serve more than 27,000 students and operates one of our leading universities with several colleges, including the schools of health services and theology, while simultaneously administering four mission stations in rural Liberia. The church in Liberia is also active in its healing ministry. The church owns and operates a major referral hospital, Ganta United Methodist Hospital, in our South Central region, as well as three clinics in other parts of our country. Permit me to mention also that the Global Church Missionaries of Hope Initiative that recruited, trained, and assigned over 75 African men and women, many of them young adults, to serve in mission around the continent, particularly provided help and healing, hope and conflict resolution to many, particularly vulnerable African children. This has served as a true testament of hope giving. Liberia benefited from the Missionaries of Hope program, and I want to thank you for this critical ministry. In Liberia, the church has also fought to give democracy meaning in life. The church has worked to give our citizens their dignity by addressing issues of poverty, illiteracy, and health. The church has worked to give public voice to the voiceless, care and love to the needy and abandoned, shelter to the homeless, and education and hope to the young, the destitute, the underprivileged, and those in despair. The church has provided leadership to the Council of Churches in steering the return to family values, to those old-fashioned virtues of honesty and hard work. We applaud the work of the church in education, in health service. We applaud the work of the church in advancing and defending human rights in our country, in Africa, and around the world, in promoting democracy, the rule of law, and religious tolerance and coexistence. The church work in Liberia is solid proof of its success in these endeavors. The church university, Africa University in Zimbabwe, is a testimony to its commitment to eradicate ignorance and improve literacy and education in the African continent. We thank you, all of you fellow United Methodists assembled in this hall, working throughout the world, for your support over the years, especially during our country's years of conflict and wars. However, I would be less than honest if I did not tell you that we need the church now as never before. This is because the task of national renewal, the task to deal with the financial, human, and technical neglect is huge, well beyond our national capacity. The moment has therefore never been more opportune for the United Methodist Church to broaden its engagement in Liberia and its collaboration with government as we plan and pursue programs to address poverty, improve education and health services, and give our people dignity, hope, a future of peace, security, stability, and individual national fulfillment, while simultaneously advancing and giving meaning to Almighty God's work in Liberia and throughout Africa. We need to equip, build, and renovate our schools, seminars, and universities to meet the high and urgent demand for education among our young people. it will make a major contribution and be of tremendous pride to all Methodists if support were given to relocate the United Methodist University to its new campus, thereby expanding the number of places available in the sub-region and providing a United Methodist location in West Africa for students to have access to university education. We ask for your continued support for construction of the hospital in Ganta, a hospital that would continue the role of a primary referral facility in our rural area and carry on its historic lifesaver role. We thank the Illinois Great River Conference through the First United Methodist Church of Peoria, the Wesley United Methodist Church of Canton, the Wesley United Methodist Church of Markham, for the support already started in this regard, and we look forward to others joining them in this endeavor. Fellow United Methodists, despite the enormous challenges which face the world, Africa, and Liberia, the good news is that the world is still today a better place. Many of you know that the universal bad news out of Africa has changed. Slowly but surely, a growing number of African countries have begun to turn around, ending conflicts, installing good governments, implementing stronger economic policies, and getting back on their feet. But because it is good news, and because it is happening gradually, it generally does not get the attention it deserves. The recent good news does not guarantee long-term success, not by any means. Nevertheless, I assure you, the signs are encouraging and hopeful. Critically, these changes are structural, not cyclical. The first is political. Slowly but surely, more countries in Africa are becoming democracies and establishing accountable and transparent systems of governance. Today, we focus on Zimbabwe, but it is more the exception than the rule. In 1989, there were just 4 democracies in all of sub-Saharan Africa. Today, there are about 18. In the space of a generation, Africa has gone from very few democracies to more than 1/3 on the continent. The second shift is vastly improved macroeconomic management by most African governments and the end of significant economic distortions. These macroeconomic problems are now distant memories for most of our countries. With a few unfortunate exceptions, countries have shifted to strong macroeconomic policies that will be sustained. The progress in Liberia is also real. In 2 years, we have restored growth, reactivated the private sector, commenced the rehabilitation of roads and infrastructure, rebuilt institutions, tackled and received relief from long-standing domestic and external debt arrears. We have generally maintained peace and security, restored our country's international credibility, establish good relationship with all bilateral partners, especially our sister African states. I'm proud to say that we have moved Liberia from a failed state, from that awful flicker on your television screen of a nation in chaos, death, and destruction, to a potential post-conflict success story. To maintain this progress, our focus is and must be on the youth of our land. Drawing from lessons of our country's civil war, unemployment, small or large, especially among young people, transform them into a potentially ready and willing source of instability, violence, chaos, and destruction. If we fail to educate and give our young people opportunities for self-fulfillment, we deny them hope for living. And a group that is without hope or has no reason to live falls for anything and does everything to give itself validity, relevance, meaning, and purpose. In Africa, such groups have been used as pawns in furthering the power and vision of fortune seekers, self-styled liberators, or freedom fighters. Our challenge is to ensure that our youths never again fall prey to these adventurists. Fellow Methodists, dear friends, during the early days of my presidency, when my convoy approached a crowd with children, there was pandemonium as they ran helter-skelter, afraid that security forces were on the way to harm them, to deprive them of their possession, to take them into custody. Today, it is a different story. When an advance team signals that my convoy is approaching, the crowds, particularly the children, gather to cheer, to urge me to get down and greet them, to talk to them, instead of the dismay and distress that were in their eyes of yesterday. Today their eyes light up. They smile. Liberia is on the way back. Africa is on the way back. There is indeed light at the end of the tunnel. Even here in America, the unexpected unfolds before our eyes. Your politics have changed. This confirms to me that our world can indeed be made a future of hope and promise. Let us work together to ensure that this hope is fulfilled, that God's will for the betterment of mankind will prevail. God bless you.